Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome to Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. Today's guests are father and son and former BYU basketball players Jeff Chapman and his son Jordan Chapman. Jeff played basketball for BYU from 1984 to 1987, and Jordan played from 2014 to 2016. Guys, thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Jordan, you were mentioning you're in Washington. Jeff, you are now living in Utah. You're an honorary Utahan as it is, so we're glad you're finally here. You've been hitting up all the BYU sports lately between basketball games, football games, soccer games. What do you think of the trajectory of BYU sports right now?
When Tom left, I was just hoping and praying that they would hire Brian Santiago. And when they did, I was ecstatic because I'm like, he's going to keep doing what Tom did, and he's going to continue us up on that upward trajectory. So, and it's happening. I mean, there's some great things happening under Brian really quickly here. And so I'm just really excited to be able to go and watch the all these great athletes play.
What kind of feelings do you get when you step back onto campus nowadays?
It's really nostalgic. First thing, I realize how old I am, because I see all these kids running around like, wow, I'm really old. But it just brings back a lot of nostalgia of when I used to play here.
Jordan, you transferred from BYU to Boston College, where you finished off your collegiate basketball career. But do you still follow BYU sports at all?
Yeah, I do, especially the past couple of years with Kevin Young coming in and what he's doing to the program. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm sure just the interest is, and just so different from what we're all used to, right? As fans, we're like, this is not the BYU I grew up with. It's completely different. But Jordan, I want to know, you're living in Washington, but what are you up to these days?
Yeah, I work remotely for Ernst & Young. I just do business operations stuff. So it's a lot of spreadsheets, boring stuff on the computer.
What's that like going from playing professional basketball to now focusing on spreadsheets? That's got to be a change.
It's a very hard transition. Yeah, I'm still not used to it yet. I wish I could have played till I was 40, but didn't work out. But hey, you got to pay the bills somehow. So
it's true. Whether you finish in high school, college, or professional, you got to stop at some point, right? And I feel like that's probably a challenge for all athletes. Jeff, you were part of a great era of BYU basketball in the 80s. How often do you think about that time still?
All the time. And now, especially since I'm living in Utah, I get to see some of the fellas that I used to play with. And, playing college basketball, especially at a special place like BYU, it's part of my DNA. So I say all the time, I think about my time here at BYU and playing with the fellas and the great coaches that I had and just playing for such a special university.
Jordan, when did basketball first become something you bonded over as father and son?
I can't even think about how young I was. I mean, probably when I came out the womb, honestly. my dad always was taking me to games and watching games with him and going to practices and stuff. So as my earliest memory is just basketball.
You've never known life without the game of basketball, and it's deeply connected to your dad, I'm sure. Jeff, when did you first realize Jordan had some real talent and drive for the game?
When he was 6 years old, and his first time playing on a team I was coaching. And it had 6, 7, and 8 8-year-olds on it. And I was thinking he was going to be scared, and because there were some bigger 8-year-olds on the team. And we had our first practice, and he was hanging right in there. And that made me say, I think this kid has a chance.
Jordan, from your perspective, what do you remember about that time? Was basketball something you're like, oh, my dad did it, so I'm going to do it? Or did you just fall in love with it fast?
I think I've always loved basketball, honestly. Just like I said, like he was always taking me to NBA games, college games. So I've always loved it.
What do you feel like what's something your dad has taught you that shaped how you approach basketball and about life?
My dad is super confident in everything that he does. He always believed in himself and believed in me and everything I do. So whenever I was going through hard times on the court, he always just instilled confidence in me. So he's just a super motivating guy, and I think that's something I try to take into my life now.
And confidence goes such a long way. Jeff, let's rewind a little bit and get into your story. I know you've told it so many times, but it's a brand new audience here. A lot of people haven't heard it. You came to BYU from Talladega, Alabama, and you were raised a strong Baptist household. What drew you all the way out to Provo, Utah? I know that BYU was playing in the NCAA tournament there in Alabama, and they saw you play, but I bet you had the opportunity to play somewhere closer to home. So what made you think, okay, I'm going to take a chance on BYU?
When I was growing up, I really enjoyed watching sports on TV. And when I was a little boy, I used to say, I'm going to play on TV one day. So my goal was always to find a school that I can play on TV. So I was heavily recruited, but by small schools. All the big schools, Alabama, Auburn, UAB, Georgia, and all of them, they didn't have any interest in me. So when BYU came along, and I remember watching them play football and basketball on TV, I was really excited, and that made me really want to be a part of it.
And you're probably like, I don't know anything about this place or about this school, but yeah, they're on TV, so let's go. You did an awesome deep blue on your story, and you talk about how you were one of 36 black people out of 26,000 students on campus coming from Alabama. That's got to be a shock. So were there times when you questioned your place here, wondering, like, what am I doing here, given the lack of diversity in a religion you weren't used to?
Yeah, the first semester was really tough. And I tell a story where we had practice started back then October 15th every year. And on October 14th, I sprained my ankle right after pitcher day. And so I wasn't able to practice. And I was really frustrated with school. Going to American Heritage, and when I looked at my schedule, it said AUD. And I said, what is AUD? Is that does not mean auditorium, does it? And I walked in there, it was 900 students in there. I'm in a class of 900 students, but I didn't have 900 students in my high school. So school was tough, taking physical science, taking Book of Mormon, you know, and then I sprained my ankle. I couldn't play basketball. So I called my mom and told her, I'm going to come home and quit. And she says, well, you can quit, but you can't come home. So I was like, well, I better figure this out. So after the first semester, you know, I was able to go home a little bit for Christmas and came back in January. And it was smooth sailing after that.
Well, you also mentioned, I like that you mentioned that BYU is different from what some of your friends were saying about Mormons and the LDS Church. How was it different from what you were told before you got there?
Well, one of the biggest things was like how Mormons really didn't let outsiders in. And the thing that worried my parents and my friends and my family was how I was going to be treated. And so that, as you know, this is the friendliest place on earth. The people embraced me. They were so nice and so sweet. They went out of their way. I remember to help me. I remember going to some people, this older couple invited me over to their home for Thanksgiving because I couldn't go home for Thanksgiving because of basketball practice. And they asked what I liked. And I said, well, you know, turkey's okay, but you know, usually we have turnip greens. And I got there, they were trying to make me turnip greens. I couldn't believe it. They had never made turnip greens in their life. They went out and found some. And I'm like, these are the nicest people ever. So all that stuff about, you know, Mormons not, you know, being inclusive and liking and loving people was outsiders was 100% false.
You also, while you were here at BYU, you had a remarkable conversion experience where you became a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints after being staunch Baptist. You've said before that your faith has become a continuous foundation that you've built your life around. How has your testimony, your faith been able to guide you through the different seasons of your life from that time?
Well, you know, like you said, I was always strong Southern Baptist, and joining the LDS Church, I was able to keep most of my Southern Baptist beliefs, and then grew more with knowledge of having the gift of the Holy Ghost, you know, versus having the influence of the Holy Ghost, having the priesthood bestowed upon me and being able to serve. The biggest thing was the temple and going in there making those five sacred covenants. That has been my anchor, because I'm a big foundational guy. When I go out and teach people, before you do anything, you must have a strong foundation in something, and that's what you got to lean on. So the temple has been my strong foundation.
How did your family react when you decided to join the church?
Well, when I joined, I didn't tell my family because I was too scared. Because my dad was a deacon, which, like, for that church was like being an apostle. So you have the preacher, and then you had deacons that ran the church. So his name was on the church. And his brother's name was on the church, and my granddad's name was on the church. So, I mean, we went to that church for years, and so I never told them. So they found out because they did we were ranked number two, and they did a big article on me in the USA Today newspaper. And my cousin, and I said, I don't mind doing it because I know my parents don't take the USA Today newspaper, so they'll never know. But my cousin was reading it at work. And he called my mom and dad and said, I didn't know Jeff became Mormon. They're like, what? Jeff is not Mormon. And they called me, and they were mad, and my mom hung up on me. So.
Wow. And you're like, well, there it is. Did they eventually come around?
Yeah, the next day the Lord has softened their heart, and they told me, if you're happy, we're happy for you. So. We're okay with it.
I love seeing your dad on that Deep Blue piece they did on you, too. He seems like a phenomenal guy. Jordan, how has knowing your dad's story influenced you as you've navigated faith and just life in general?
Yeah, it makes me super grateful that he was able to go to BYU and get the gospel. Because without his conversion, you know, it would have been harder for me to be converted myself. So my dad just... He raised us in the church, and he was always just an amazing example of how to be a strong father and a strong leader in the church. And so I always try to emulate his example. Mm.
And Jeff, you've just always been the nicest, kindest guy. I've always loved my interactions with you. So let's talk about the basketball side of BYU. You were a 3-time all-WAC player, all-academic WAC as well in 1987 and 88 season. BYU opens the season with a 17-game winning streak. Streak ended when BYU played Alabama-Birmingham. That winning streak grabbed a lot of national attention at the time. BYU ended up winning the WAC. You finished the season with a 26-6 record. But what do you remember about having that winning streak end in your home state?
Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff that I haven't even brought up with UAB. One of the side things people don't know is the local community church had a bus, and they filled that bus and brought people over. On that bus was my mom's dad and my dad's dad. They had never seen me play basketball live before. They never went to my high school game. So their first game, seeing their grandson play basketball live, was UAB when we stunk it up.
Ooh, that had to have hurt. What were some of their comments after that game? Do you remember?
Yeah, they were just shocked because we were just rolling over everybody. And I remember my dad's sister was like, came up to me and she said, "What happened? What's wrong with you guys?" You know, because they've been watching us on TV kill people, and we couldn't play that night. We were just jinxed that night. It was crazy. It was like BYU at. And I promise you, I thought this. Watching BYU play at Texas Tech, and I said, that reminds me of UAB, where nothing went right.
And you're like, that's not how they play. That's not, no. This is normally not how it goes, right? During that BYU season, you guys climbed to number 3 in the country, though, which is incredible. What was that like?
Coaches poll, number 3 in the AP poll, number 2 in the coaches poll.
And I believe that's never been done since then.
Yeah, we've been the highest ranked team ever.
Yeah, which, I mean, this year, right, who knows what's going to happen. But what was that like when your team made BYU a national story?
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. We, you know, you watch, you know, ESPN, you watch ABC, NBC, all of those people were coming to Little Provo, and Provo was little then. This is the 80s. It's not like it is now. It's pretty crazy here. I can't believe it. But we have Dick Vitale and all these people coming, you know, Jim Nance, you know, who's, you know, CBS, and all those people were coming, and it was just surreal that so many people were coming and interviewing us and videoing us, and it was crazy.
Jordan, growing up with a dad who was a basketball legend in Provo, did that motivate you, intimidate you, or a little bit of both?
I don't know, to be honest with you. It's probably like one of the biggest reasons why I went there, honestly, is because we went to so many games coming up, and I just felt so comfortable because I knew so many people down there and have been to the court so many times. And so when they were recruiting me, it felt like an easy choice just because of how comfortable I was down there.
What's interesting is I've interviewed father and son before, and sometimes the kids that now play at BYU are like, my dad didn't tell me any stories about their playing days growing up. But what did your dad tell you a lot about his playing days?
Well, he didn't need to, because anytime I went down there, everyone, you know, would talk to him and would tell me all the stories themselves. So,
and some of the stories weren't true.
I'm sure they were made even better than the truth. Jeff, you also met your wife Leah here at BYU. How did you guys meet? I'm curious about your story.
Well, let me bring her in right quick. Come on.
Yeah, let's bring her in.
So they wanted, she asked, how did we meet?
Hi, Leah.
She was a little freshman, and I was a mighty senior, and she wanted to meet the great Jeff Chapman. And so I was like, well, I'll just condescended and say, you know, it's another groupie wanting to meet me and everything. So then I just condescended and met her, and she ended up being really cute. And so I gave her a chance, and the rest is history.
All right, Leah, let's hear the real story of how it happened.
Actually, our first date, he answered the door with toilet paper up his nose. And so that was pretty funny because he had, he couldn't breathe, so he sticks it up his nose, and he had never,
it was pretty funny. I had a cold, so one of my nostrils was stuffed, so. I plugged it up.
I said, if this guy can be real like that, he's somebody I want to date. He was a lot of fun.
You were charmed over the toilet paper in his nuts.
And we played Monopoly, and I beat him. So, you know.
Not true.
It was all over.
She cheated.
Well, eight kids later, it clearly worked out for you guys. I love it. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll dive into Jeff's life after BYU basketball, Jordan's journey, and the Chapman legacy that's now expanded beyond Jeff's 8 kids. This is Royal Legacy. Want to know what drives BYU's greatest athletes? Deep Blue takes you beyond the stats and into the stories. Host Jason Shepherd sits down with Cougar legends and rising stars to uncover what makes them tick. New episodes every Tuesday. Subscribe to Deep Blue wherever you get your podcasts.
And now back to Royal Legacy and your host, Lauren McLean.
Welcome back to Royal Legacy. I'm Lauren McLean, here with Jeff and Jordan Chapman, father and son and former BYU basketball players. All right, Jordan, let's get into your story a little bit. You had a stellar high school career at Union High School in Vancouver, Washington. You won Gatorade Player of the Year. You had several big offers. You mentioned it a little bit before, but why did BYU feel like the right fit for you at the time?
Yeah, one aspect was how comfortable I felt down there. just because I knew so many different people, a lot of relatives, a lot of family. The coaching staff really recruited me super hard. They came to a lot of my games, and I liked their style of play. So,
and before you went to BYU, you served a mission for the church in Taiwan. Why was that an important decision for you at the time?
Yeah, serving missions what the prophet asked us to do, and I always felt like God is number one in my life, so I wanted to make sure that I did that.
And that's a hard decision, though, for a young kid. But maybe it was easy for you. Was that something you're like, this is what I'm doing?
Yeah, I mean, my parents expected me to go, and so when the time came, it wasn't much of a question, you know. It was something I had thought about and prepared for my whole life, so it was an easy decision. Mm.
Jeff, what did that mean to you to see your son put basketball aside for 2 years, knowing how talented he was, and put it aside to serve the Lord?
Yeah, I was always really proud of him because Jordan is just an outstanding person. He has a great heart. He always tries to do the right thing. He is so good with people. He does not like the spotlight. He just stays in his area, and he's just a great kid. So, but you know, this is a big decision because, you know, he could go in and play at BYU and keep the continuity of his body and not have to, you know, take 2 years off. And to watch him go through that decision and make the right decision, it made me even more proud of him.
And didn't you, Jordan, end up marrying someone from Taiwan? Is that right?
Yeah, my wife is Taiwanese. She was a missionary in the same mission as me, and so I first met her there, and then yeah, we got married down the road.
That's incredible. Well, you started your college career at BYU. You graduated with your bachelor's degree before transferring to Boston College. But what's something that sticks with you from your time at BYU?
Just some of my teammates. I love the guys that I met there, the relationships that we built. You know, Tyler Hodge just got inducted to the Hall of Fame, and he's just such a wonderful person. He let me room with him my freshman season, and just he would invite me to a bunch of stuff. And, like, you know, like here he is, a superstar, one of the best players in BYU history, and he's taking the time to be friends with me and invite me to stuff. So just the people that I met, the connections that I had there, it's something I'll always be grateful for.
I love that. He really is such a good guy. So take me through what went into your decision to decide to transfer to Boston College.
I wanted to go to law school at BYU. And so I took the LSAT. I kind of graduated faster. I think I took 21 credits my final year just so I could graduate on time. And back then, if you graduated, you could transfer without sitting out. And so based on how the season went, I thought, you know, maybe I'll want to transfer after this. And then just some things happened with the law school. I wasn't able to go to the law school. I don't know what the reason was, but I didn't go to the law school. And then just conversations with Dave Rose about my future didn't really line up with what I wanted for my future, and so I felt like I could go somewhere else and get more time and be more of a star. So
Well, I think you made a good choice, but that's a huge decision. How would you say your dad and your parents helped you through that time?
Yeah, well, my dad was the reason I got to Boston College, honestly. I mean, he could tell the story, but I think he had some connection with somebody who ended up knowing one of the coaches at Boston College, and they liked my high school film. They liked what I had done at BYU. And so they recruited me super heavily, and that's why I went there.
Jeff, how did you and your wife balance giving your opinions on your thoughts of what you thought Jordan should do and then letting him make his own decision? Because that's kind of a hard position for you, too.
Yes. When the kids are growing up and living in our house, there is no agency. But when they graduate from high school and move out, they have their agency, and what we do is just give them our strong opinions and then support whatever they decide to do.
I love that. Jordan, you made it into the Boston College record books and the 1,000-point club. How did that transition stretch you in ways you think benefited your life?
That's a good question. I think it was just a challenge, you know, like to move to the East Coast where I'd never been before, along with my wife, to meet new people, a new ward, new teammates. It was a difficult transition, and obviously I was playing in ACC, which was, you know, at the time was like the best conference in the country with so many future NBA players. And so it made me just lock in even more, work hard, and make sure that I fit in.
You had a fantastic career, and beyond that, you got your associate's degree in high school. This is crazy to me. Associate's degree in high school, graduated from BYU with your bachelor's, and then you got your MBA, right, from Boston College?
Yeah, correct.
Along with those 21 credits, which I'm still trying to wrap my mind around while playing basketball, but how were you able to maintain such high levels of both academically and athletically?
Yeah, just discipline, you know, organizing my time, putting things first, not wasting a lot of time on video games and things outside of school and basketball, just focusing and locking in, honestly.
After college, you played overseas for a few years. How would you describe those years playing international basketball?
It was so much fun. It was the best time of my life. I just have so many crazy stories to tell and things that happened. It was so much fun.
Okay, so you were in Romania for a little bit, and where else did you go?
I was in Romania and then Taiwan for 2 seasons.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you have some incredible stories. But I'm curious, now that you're working kind of just a normal job, how do you stay connected to the game that I know means so much to you?
Yeah, I teach lessons a couple times a week to players in the area. And then just stay locked in with watching on TV and social media, stuff like that.
Jeff, you have 7 other children besides Jordan with your wife, Leah. 4 boys, 4 girls, many of them athletes. Were sports something you urged your kids to pursue when they were little, or did it come natural?
Yeah, I told the kids that they need to have a discipline, whether it's sports or music or band or something. You have to have a discipline. And I said, I know sports. So, you know, if you want to choose sports, then I can help you with that. But you're going to have to do something. You just can't just, you know, go to school and go to church. You have to have a third thing and really focus on it. So basketball ended up being, you know, 6 of the kids end up playing basketball, 1 played football, and then my oldest daughter, she's in the arts. So that's okay. What they chose.
Jordan, what was it like growing up in a household of 8 kids? And you are the 2nd oldest. What was that like for you?
It was a lot of fun, honestly. So many things going on, you know, never a dull moment. I liked it a lot.
Obviously, a lot of competitors in the family, because you mentioned, you know, 6 of the 8 play basketball, all athletes. How did your mom fit into the mix, Jordan? Was she the peacemaker, or was she just as competitive as everyone else? What was your mom like growing up?
Yeah, she was definitely a peacemaker. My dad was super intense. You know, we go work out and we come back crying and stuff like that. And so she would hold the peace and keep us calm.
She was the one that's like, it's okay, it's going to be all right. Jeff, many of your kids are grown up now and they have families of their own. How many grandkids do you have now?
Only 1.
Oh, and that's, Jordan, that's your baby, right?
Yeah.
They have.
How old's your baby now?
She's 5.
They are failing me and my wife, Leah, miserably. With 8 kids, we should have 15 grandkids by now.
It's true. Come on, everyone's got to step it up. Here we go. Jeff, how does basketball still influence your approach to life today?
Yeah, basketball, or like I said, any sport or discipline, you know, it teaches you so much about, you know, teamwork, selflessness, being unselfish. It's the list just goes on and on. And I'm an investor right now, and I'm always looking at companies and looking at stuff to invest in. And you know, I have a real estate business and stuff. And all the stuff I learned from basketball, I still use every day. It is incredible.
Hmm. And Jordan, what would you say, if you could share one piece of advice with young athletes, what would you say to them that are trying to make it to a high level?
Yeah, I think about this. I've been thinking about it recently because I've been teaching kids, and it's like the biggest thing I think is you have to be obsessed with whatever you're doing, right? If it's basketball, you got to love the game. You got to be obsessed with it. Like, you got to live and breathe it. Like, I remember growing up, I would sneak into like the high school gym during lunch so that I could get extra shots up, you know? And then after, I would work out again. And then I was watching film. Like, you have to be obsessed and love it. It can't just be, you know, I show up for team practice and then that's all I do. Like, you have to put in the work outside of it. And I really love it.
Mm. And I think that's the difference between being good and being great right there is what you just described. Jeff, how would you define success now compared to when you were in high school playing for a chance to be seen on TV and recruited by a Division I college to now having a beautiful wife, 8 kids, and a grandkid? How would you define what success is now?
Yeah, back in the day, it was pretty much me, me, me. And now that I'm married with children and one grandchild, success for me is family. Being there for my family, even though they're out, all seven of them are out of the house and only one still living at home, is to continue to be there for them and to help them with their family and their school and their work and being an example for them. So I would say, yeah, success now is having a successful family, in which is always, for the rest of my life, we're going to continue to work on having our family, our entire family, be successful.
Well, you have created quite the Chapman legacy. Jordan, and I want to end with you asking, when you think about your legacy as a father, a husband, and a teammate, what do you hope people remember the most about you?
On the court, I just hope that people remember that I did what I could to help the team win. You know, that it wasn't about me and my success, but it was about helping the team achieve success. And then off the court, it's just, I just want to be a good person, a person that God is happy with and that cares more about other people. One of my favorite quotes is from President Hinckley, when he said, "The happiest people are the ones that care about other people. They're not so focused on themselves." And so that's something that I strive to, unsuccessfully so far, but strive to work towards.
We're all unsuccessful. None of us are perfect. I'm sure you're doing such a great job. I'm here with father and son and former BYU basketball players, Jeff and Jordan Chapman. You guys are incredible. I appreciate you taking the time, and thanks so much for being here with me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Lauren.
This episode of Royal Legacy was produced by Christy Solomon with senior producer Terry South. Listen to Royal Legacy wherever you get your podcasts or on the BYU Radio app. Royal Legacy is a production of BYU Broadcasting.